In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, it is Thursday, a little snowy outside. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, with me today. We got a great show in store for you. Jim Dennison will join us here in just a few moments. And today, no, is not tax day. Normally it is. That has been pushed off to May 17th. So those of you that maybe thought that this was the day.
They're panicking.
D-Day, it's not.
A freaking out moment.
It's another month.
Just push it back.
Yeah.
Okay, good
just
to know.
Hang tight. You're all good for right now.
Okay.
All right, yesterday's impossible question. Which I never would have got, by the way, because I don't know why this is the case. Nearly 1 out of 10 weddings this year will feature this. The answer is a pet.
Oh.
So now you're bringing your dog or cat or turtle or whatever to the wedding.
See, like prior to, I had a little adopted pet years ago. It was like my first baby. And that like previous to that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy to love your dog that much. Like people are weird. And then I had Romeo and everything changed. So I can understand that. I can understand. I contemplated having Romeo at my wedding years ago.
Okay. Today's impossible question.
Okay.
Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. And I have no idea what this is, by the way, because I haven't really changed my routine at all. But 1 in 9 men did this for the first time during the pandemic. 1 in 9 men did this for the first time during the pandemic. Thoughts?
Cut their hair.
Oh, cut their own hair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
did that actually.
Yeah, I think everybody was cutting.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. The ideas are golfed alone, started a new exercise routine. I don't think that's it.
Or
I like
to
cut your own hair.
Created a home gym in their garage.
Yeah.
No, not
yeah,
that dedicated.
I mean, yeah, but that has been going on for a while.
Okay.
I mean, 1 in 9, so 10% basically.
Yeah, that's pretty high. Okay.
It's a high number.
Yeah.
Did this for the first time during the pandemic.
I would think like actually cutting your hair would be higher because what? 90% of the people out there are still like they're growing their hair out. Like, your hair's not. I mean,
mine's
not,
long because I won't go until the stinking mask is gone.
But you haven't cut your hair at all. You had to have.
Well, I've cut it some. My sister's a barber,
well,
so
trim,
she cuts
yeah.
it some. But
you look groomed.
But it's a pain to, you know.
Okay.
And I feel bad having to, you know, put that burden on her. And usually I just go get it cut, but I'm not doing it with a mask on.
Yeah, no. I cut my husband's hair and my son's hair.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, you know.
All right, Jim Dennison joining us now. Jim, welcome. How are you on this fine Thursday?
I'm doing well. Good to talk with you today.
Hey, likewise. I appreciate it. Okay, so real quick for you, did you do anything different for the first time during the pandemic?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I worked from home on a completely different level. Ooh. And had to learn how to be a husband at home.
Oh.
Ah.
So here's how this works, guys. My wife came home some time ago. I happened to be there during the day. She said, excuse me, why are you here? I said, I live here. She said, not during the day.
Good one.
Nice.
Good one. Love it.
For better, for worse, but not for lunch. And so,
good one.
Worked from home for the first, I'm in my office now, but the first number of months worked from home and had to learn how to do radio and do media and do video and all of that and be a husband. I'm not sure I succeeded. Janet may not tell me I did well, but that was the goal.
All right.
Yeah. Dynamics totally changed between husbands and wives during the pandemic. I'll tell you that.
Because
I had to get used to my husband being around.
More.
And that, yeah, I mean, and I thoroughly do enjoy his company, but it's like, you know, it just was like, oh, you're here again. And
we're here again.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
So,
all right, let's talk about money. Jim, what does the Bible say about money?
Oh, well, there you go. You know, April 15th, all of that was given for this. Actually, it's been pushed to May 17th. Although, if you owe quarterly, you have to pay today.
True.
They want the money today. Even, I don't know how they.
True.
I don't know how that works. First of May 17, the quarterly due today. Nonetheless, the real point I wanted to make in this, wanted to talk a little about the Bible. It does speak about tax. It does say that we owe taxes, and being good citizens is really important. Justin the Martyr, one of the first Christian defenders, made that as his argument to the Roman Empire. He said, look, Christians pay our taxes. We support the empire. We pray for our leaders. We are good citizens. And that's an important point to make in a time when people really hate paying tax and really angry at the government. If we can have a more charitable, more generous attitude, that can go to our witness in a way that really can glorify the Lord.
Okay. Yeah. And for those listening, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but Scripture has a lot to say about money. In fact, a ton, Jim.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. Starts with the fact that it all belongs to God.
Yeah.
We have this idea that it's ours, and we give God back
no,
a little.
We're just borrowing it.
If we tithe, all the way around.
Yep, it's just ours to use. We need to be. It talks about being a good steward of it, and that's one of the responsibilities
right.
I believe we have. And the better steward you are, I'm a big believer, Jim, that the better steward you are, the more you'll have to be a steward over.
He trusts you with that, you know. And then there's no private public. He's as concerned about the money you keep as the money you give.
That's right.
He's as concerned with what you do because it's all his. It's like when my kids were little and they borrowed money from me to buy me a birthday present.
Right.
You know. It's kind of like that, in giving to God, so to speak. It's all his, and if we will steward it to his glory, that, as you say, is also to our good.
Yeah, and you know what? I think also, Jim, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't mean that you just carte blanche, pay whatever, you know, in this case, it's tax day, whatever the IRS says you owe. No. Being a good steward means you get a good accountant. You do the things necessary to make sure you're doing things properly and that you are taking your proper deductions and doing the things that you need to and so on. And by the way, there's nothing illegal about what I said. In fact, that's a part of being a good steward.
Absolutely is. And actually, that's in the government's interest. The reason the government gets you a tax deduction for charitable contributions is, at least in the logic of it, those charitable groups are doing better good than the government could if they had the money.
That's right.
So the reason they do that is not just to be nice. The IRS isn't just being gracious here.
Shoot, no, they're never that
they're
way.
They're serving the country better. Yeah, exactly. So they think they're actually serving the common cause and the common good more by allowing you to donate to things and churches and ministries that are benefiting the common good in a way they couldn't. So you're actually benefiting everybody by giving to charity and by doing the deductions as you described.
Right. I really think if more people, though, did what the Bible told us to do in giving 10% of what you make to God and literally just that's a principle that you live by, we would see a lot less poor, a lot less impoverished. I really believe that.
Oh, you're right.
Because the government's just, there's a waste taking place there. I get it. That's what we're, you know, you give, you pay your taxes and all that. But that's like a whole waste area over there.
Oh,
but
I agree.
If people really were to give, we would, I believe we'd have a lot less problems.
I agree. I'm one, Jim, and I know different people have different schools of thought on this, but I am one that will tell you that I feel like, to Rachel's point a moment ago, that the church missed a huge, huge opportunity during the Depression. And I realize a lot of churches did a lot of great things, but I think in general, I'm talking church sort of in a global fashion here, I think we missed the boat and ended up with a huge welfare program from the government because we didn't do what we should have done as a church.
I completely agree. As you look back at American history, not to mention biblical history, it's just so clearly the case that faith-based organizations can so often be more efficient, be more effective. They're closer to the need on the ground. They're more aware of what's happening in the community. They're more altruistic. They can do this at greater levels of efficiency. And that was part of the reason that the church was able in American history to demonstrate the relevance of our faith so well, is we felt need to meet spiritual need. That was Jesus, healing bodies to heal souls. And when we really started turning a lot of that over to the government and allowing the segregation of Sunday and Monday, spiritual, secular, religion, real world, none of which is biblical, that's when we started losing the ability to show the relevance of the gospel to the culture. It's a drastic mistake we need to reverse today.
Yeah.
Jim, and by the way, I think this correlates into today as well. And I'm not a historian. I wasn't around then, of course. I'm not that old. I know I'm old, but not that old.
Not that old.
But tell me if part of why the church missed that opportunity during the Depression and why I think we miss some of these opportunities even today is because a lot of people in the Depression, I've talked to multiple people even this week interviewing, talking about, you know, the similarities even to what was going on then versus now when it comes to, you know, borrowing to buy stock, you know, buying stock on margin, which was huge back in the Depression. The question I have is, and I don't know the answer to this, is how many Christians, quote unquote, got caught up in some of those same practices and thereby lost everything, therefore not having the ability to really give and help others when the Depression hit, or in a way even caused it to hit?
That's a terrific question, something an historian would have to answer from a statistical perspective. I do know enough about that era to know that as a trend, what you're describing certainly was the case. There was already, back in the early part of the 20th century, a privatizing of faith. Some of this had to do with Darwin and the origin of species and the idea that science could answer questions the Bible was thought only to be able to answer, and already a beginning of segregating and the secularizing that was beginning to start and all that. And so you already started seeing Christian leaders who were handling money in secular ways. You already started seeing movements toward secular foundations and secular benevolence and organizations doing what the church had historically done in the belief that they could do it better. So on a trend. I absolutely know what you're talking about to have been the case. Statistics others could supply, but that's definitely a temptation we face today.
Right. Yeah, and that was my point, is I think if we're not careful, we can fall into some of those same traps today. And I think that's where, you know, as Christians, and it's why we do a lot of money things even on this show, and we'll have Scott Garlis on later in the day from Stansberry Research. We talk about the stock market, investments, things along those lines. And I think, Jim, as Christians, you know, back to that stewardship principle we talked about earlier, I think it's very, very important for us to be on top of those things and to know exactly what we're doing. Where is our money going? How are we investing it? How is it doing as far as the return goes? Which, by the way, there's no sin, Jim, in profit.
No.
Is
no,
there?
No, I mean, there's that the parable of, like,
there's
the
no
guy,
sin in that, folks.
He hands out the talents, and
that's right.
You're supposed to return it with, you know, doubling and tripling and
tenfold.
Yeah, tenfold. I mean, they continue to give back more and more and more, but the one that hit it.
But Jim, I think, you know, to you guys' point, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I see it is, in general, not pointing any particular denomination or church out, but I think in general, we've sort of gotten this Christian stigma that if you make money or you have profit or you're doing things along those lines, there's something intrinsically evil about you, not the opposite.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you're right about that. And that is unbiblical. One of the things I love to do when I lead people to Israel, I've led more than 30 study tours to Israel, we always go to Capernaum, we always go to Peter's house. Now, people kind of grow up with Peter as a ragtag fisherman barely making a living. His was the largest home yet discovered in Capernaum and the home closest to the water. He was a profitable businessman, so much so that he had servants, he had a fleet of boats. According to early tradition, they exported dried fish all the way down to Jerusalem. His fishing partner, John, handled that account, which is why John could go into the high priest's council when Jesus was on trial and Peter couldn't. His was a very, in other words, Jesus called some of the leading businessmen in one of the leading business centers in all of Israel to be his followers, to be his disciples. This idea that you have to be financially poor in order to be spiritually rich is not always true. Now, the other side, Jesus warned us that there's no question that prosperity can get in the way of spiritual prosperity. No doubt about that. But you're exactly right. There should be no stigma for Christians who manage money well to the glory of God.
Yeah. Right. And again, that's one of those things I think we need to, we need to end that, Jim, and realize that money, this is how I see it anyways, maybe I'm wrong. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. The money that I have is a tool. And it's to be used to do whatever I can to further the kingdom. And by the way, God allows me to, you know, sort of skim off the top, if you would. He does.
Yeah.
Well, it's an abundance mentality. He loves it. I love my kids. I want my kids to prosper. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to prosper in a way that will harm them, but I want their best. We have this kind of scarcity mentality where we think we have to kind of make God love us when he is love, and his son died for us, and he chose his son's death that we might live.
Right.
Let's have an abundance mentality that knows how much God loves us.
Right.
Well said. This is great. Jim, I appreciate it very much, as always. How do folks find you?
DenisonForum.org, DENISONForum.org. Do a daily article based on that day's news. Goes to 300,000 subscribers, 2.2 million in social.
Awesome.
They can see the podcast, the videos, the books, digital content, all free. So the website, DenisonForum.org.
Jim, I appreciate it very much. It's always a joy having you. Talk to you next Thursday.
Great. Privilege to be with you.
Take care, man. I really appreciate it. Good stuff, by the way. And everything he just said, by the way, is things I've learned a long, long time ago. He is spot on.
Yeah.
There isn't anything he said that is wrong. And I do feel like we have this stigma, if you would, inside the church that you have to be poor to be a servant of Christ.
No. But I mean, think about this. Like, I think God wants, he wants to bless us. He loves a cheerful giver. So it's, he gives to us so we can give to others.
That's right.
And we're, I mean, we have to be able to fund these missionaries going into unreached people groups. We have to be able to feed the poor and the hungry and the widowed and take care of them. Like that, that all is finance. I mean, finances are involved in that entire picture.
Yeah, it requires cash.
Yes.
Let's just say it as it is. It requires cash.
Yeah. And I think the struggle is not putting your faith in money. You know what I'm saying? Like that's where, like, oh, if I got this, then I'm fine. I don't need God. Like God always has to be your source.
No.
And
yes.
I think that's where the kind of the confusion comes in. It's your faith, your trust, your hope, your peace is all in God and Jesus. And so not in your finances.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, we'll move along. We're going to talk about vaccines when we come back.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we'll get into that in a minute. Okay. Don't go anywhere. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers. Speaking of money, by the way, and one of the best ways for you to either save money, manage money, or even look for opportunities when it comes to investments and things along those lines is, A, save money on your mortgage, or B, tap into some of that equity you have to do some things with it. And you can do that with Kurt Rogers. He'll show you all the ways to do that, and then you decide what you want to do after that. It's really that simple. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, a good shot, folks. If I look outside, it's getting wetter. It may get a little slicker tonight. It's hard to say. And I hate to say this, but in Colorado, all it needs is a little bit of, actually, it doesn't have to be slick out. We still have accidents. But a little bit of slickness even adds to that risk of having an accident. And if you find yourself in an accident, whether that's tonight, this weekend, or there's been one previous, you can get your car fixed up. You don't have to take it to the insurance company. They tell you to, by the way, or to the collision center. The insurance company tells you to, by the way. You can go wherever you want to. Be in control of the repair process. Find a good shop today at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697 for any one of their three locations.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at a good shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a good shop for auto body work and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. 18 reasons. By the way, some of you have sent me this article, 18 reasons I won't be getting a COVID vaccine.
Oh.
I had it the other day in the notes. We didn't get a chance to get to it. Rachel stuck
it
in today.
I sent it.
Some of you have
good.
Actually emailed me as well. So, yes, this is something I thought we would go over at some point in time. And
yes.
Now we are here. 18 is a lot, by the way.
It's a great article. Like, sometimes you come across and you're like, you know, I get sent stuff all the time, but this was sent to me by my sister and I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And I was like, it's really, really well written. It's well done.
Okay.
And it's well laid out, I think. So
well, we have time and we can go through, you know, we can go through these one at a time. It'll take us a couple of segments, maybe even the rest of this hour to do so. But I think it's important for us to do so because there's a lot of folks out there.
Oh my gosh.
And I had this argument the other day with a quote unquote pastor, you know, theologian, professor guy that, you know, he and I had some staunch disagreements on, and yeah. I will stand by my position that no, I'm not getting that at this point in time. I have no desire to.
There's such a pressure.
Yes.
Like it's bizarre to me though, and that's making me look more into this because I'm like, wait a minute, why are you? And just to point this out really quick before we dive into this, there are therapeutics to help treat COVID. Mm-hmm.
Very
right?
much so. Yes.
All of the focus is on the vaccine. So when do you get, hey, you have an illness and you just need to wait for the vaccine for it, instead of, hey, let's treat you with this. Let's check back on you in a few days. Mm-hmm. They just, you take the test, they send you home, and then what? There's no, like, what's happening? Like, doctors are supposed to treat
patients.
There
are some good doctors that are, but unfortunately, those are the fewer of the the bunch. And I also will put this disclaimer out. I said this the other day. I am not a across-the-board anti-vaxxer. And I know this is a big topic where a lot of folks call in and we get into different things and so on. But I, you know, if I had a newborn baby today, are there certain vaccines I would give my baby? Yes.
Yes.
And I would,
same here.
But I would time them. I would do it on my schedule, not somebody else's. And so I'm not a anti-vaxxer. So please, everybody out there listening, that is not John Rush. I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
And isn't that bizarre how they do that to you, though? You're like, I'm a little hesitant. I'm not sure. They call you immediately anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, and I'm not. I'm not one
right.
of those guys.
So
all of my kids were vaccinated.
On you.
Okay, so they had all the standard kid vaccines right. and so on. And but there are certain vaccines that I'm 100% against, the HPV being one of those.
Yeah, same.
I don't think young adolescents need the HPV vaccine.
Agreed.
Teach them how to live life accordingly, and they don't need it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Agreed.
So there are certain things that I am 100% against, that being one of them. And there's also lots of side effects and things that come with that that I don't think, maybe I should do a show on that at some point in time. But,
yeah.
you know, you spend a couple of segments talking about the HPV. There's experts that I can bring in. But let's dive into this because there's some things in here that frankly, you know, I have not maybe gone and made my own full list of why I'm not getting one. I think I explained myself pretty well the other day to the so-called, you know, pastor, professor that called in and guilted me into wanted to guilt me into getting the vaccine. And I'll stand by what I said the other day. It's too early for me.
Yeah.
I'm a data guy. I read numbers. I like to see results. That's who I am. I'm an early adopter when it comes to technology, but I am not an early adopter when it comes to sticking things into my arm.
Right. And okay, so we'll break it down because this mentions all the stuff I would say too.
All right. So number one. Vaccine makers are immune from liability. That was the fast track, and what they did as a government to actually get these vaccines to market faster was we made them immune from liability.
Yeah.
And okay, I get that. Okay, and by the way, I don't know that I have any issues with that at this point in time, given where we were and what we needed to do. You guys have heard me say many, many times, I would have been okay with a placebo because we needed something to bring consumer confidence back to get things open back up and keep bringing us forward. All for a virus that has about a 1.5% death rate overall. That includes all of the elderly in that mix as well.
Right. These are emergency use authorized vaccines.
Correct.
Okay. Everyone taking this vaccine right now, it's been emergency use.
And by the way, Jen Psaki said that today in her press conference. She said those exact words.
Yeah.
What Rachel just
but
said.
But they haven't been saying that. So I caught that too.
She said that
why
today.
Why are you suddenly saying that?
Well, because of the J&J
yes.
debacle.
So this is, see? Right there, that's shadiness,
why.
Man.
That's why.
Okay, let's not talk about it, and then suddenly we start talking about it.
So number two, the checkered past of the vaccine companies. The four major companies who are making these COVID vaccines are or have either never brought a vaccine to market before. That's Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. They are serial felons, Pfizer and AstraZeneca, and are both, and that would be, you know, Johnson & Johnson. Now, guys, I will push back on this one just a little bit. I think to call them, you know, basically murderers and paint them up in that way, I would not go that far. You know, when it comes to these sorts of things, are there going to be casualties when you do these sorts of things? Yes.
Right.
Would that mean that they are blatant, flat-out murderers of individuals? No.
Well, this author says if drug companies are willfully choosing to put harmful products into the market, then they can be sued. And so that's something that...
Not in this case.
Right,
though.
Not in this case. So if something's being put into this vaccine right now that down the road, hey, it could develop this or you could have this...
You're not going to be able to sue them.
You cannot, no.
Yeah, no, they're absolved from that at this point.
Yeah, right.
And again, part of the reason why me personally, I'm just like, wait a minute, time out. I'll let somebody else be the guinea pig. I don't want to be that guy right now.
Right. And Johnson & Johnson, we have to remember, has had several lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, you scroll down here, lawsuit. Right. Pfizer lawsuits. People have, you know, taken their medications from these companies.
Correct.
And come back and sued the crap out of them.
Correct.
And they were able to do so. Now, you can't.
Right. Because we fast-tracked this thing through. You cannot. Yes. Now, I also want to add to what Rachel was saying a moment ago when it comes to, you know, my end of things. I want to add that part of the other, and I explained this the other day when I was interviewing the gentleman that I interviewed, I want to make sure folks know that I also am not worried about getting COVID. In fact, I've gone now, I mean, I keep saying this, but I want to reiterate it because I don't think at times people really understand. You know, Charlie and I both, we have been coming down to this station every single day, 6 days a week straight since everything
started. Riding an elevator, touching
all
elevator.
Of it, everything. You know, Charlie rides public transportation. Yeah. I've been to the store, Costco. I've traveled. I've done all sorts of things. Personally speaking, I just don't think I need it. I'm fine. I will be fine.
Circulate. I mean, look, this is a huge building, and like the air circulation.
I'm also
There's probably somebody in here that has COVID right now, and it's just gone through the whole.
I'm also one, and I proved this through some other articles we've talked about in recent weeks. I am one that I have a really staunch belief. I'm not a scientist, but I've read enough to know, and I'm pretty sure that I'm right, and I think time will tell that I am. That this is gene specific. I think certain people with certain genes are way more susceptible to having issues with COVID than others. That's why this vaccine is not a vaccine.
Right.
It is called gene therapy.
And
therefore proving my point.
Right. And a lot of this also is, I'm reading that it has a lot to do with blood, your blood type.
Yes, it
does. I'm A positive, and I heard A gets hit the hardest.
Okay.
So that's interesting to me.
I think it goes back to the genetics.
Yeah, O positives are having an easier time fighting it. So there's so much more to this, right?
We got more.
Yeah.
We're only on two. We got to go to 18, we've got a lot to go through here in the next 30 minutes. We'll go through this as much as we can, as quickly as we can. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is up next. And we talked to Michael yesterday live. And really, folks, get your estate in order. It's a big deal. You don't want to leave this earth not having those things dialed in. Trust me, I've been through this the last couple of weeks with my brother. And fortunately for him, he had everything dialed in, all the way down to even what he wanted inside of his service, which is fabulous. That should be you as well. Get that done today. Call Michael. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-394-6887.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Big government and big business like each other. Why? Because big business can influence big government to pass legislation, rules, regulations, taxes, and fees to give them an advantage and squash the competition. Kim Munson here. Friday, author Alan Thomas explains that in order to preserve and conserve our constitutional republic, Republicans must work to get rid of every tax exception. Plus, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, Hal Van Herke, updates us regarding small business in Colorado. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at kimmunson.com.
All right, myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama with us today, as she is on Thursdays. And by the way, where do they find you if they want to find you off air?
I'm on just conservative, M-O-M-M-A. I'm all over social media. I'm really trying to build up free speech sites right now. So I'm on Rumble, Parler, MeWe.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, the censorship's insane.
And I'm sure
right
producer
now.
Ann will link some of those things to Rachel as well. So And I'm guessing in the not-too-distant future, in fact, Anne's coming into town. I'll have a conversation with her in the next couple of days. We'll just get that linked off of Rush to Reason where it makes
awesome.
It easy. Just go there, and you can be able to find Rachel that way also. All right, number three on this, 18 reasons why we're not getting the vaccine. Number three, the ugly history of attempts to make the corona vaccines. There's been many attempts to make viral vaccines in the past that ended in utter failure, which is why we do not have one up until 2020.
Right.
In the 1960s, by the way, scientists attempted to make an RSV, a respiratory, I can't say that word, syncytial, something like that, virus vaccine for infants.
Yeah.
In that study, they skipped animal trials because they weren't necessary back then. In the end, the vaccinated infants got much sicker than the unvaccinated infants when exposed to the virus in nature, with about 80% of the vaccinated infants requiring hospitalization and two of them died. So after 2000, scientists made many attempts to create coronavirus vaccines. For the past 20 years, all ended in failure because the animals in the clinical trials got very sick and many died, just like the children in the 1960s. Now, what I also know about this vaccine, and I don't know what the rest of this article says, but I will give you what I already know.
Yeah.
And part of the reason, again, why I'm not getting it is I think most of you probably know by now, but just in case you don't, this vaccine and where we're at has come from cancer research studies, and so on. They're essentially, again, this is not, and I've said this numerous times, I'll keep saying it, we're calling it a vaccine, but it's not.
Right.
It's not a vaccine in the true sense that typically a vaccine, you inject it, you're injecting
like
part
the
of
Johnson
the virus.
Like Johnson & Johnson is actually more similar to
a real vaccine.
A real vaccine.
Yeah. You inject it, your body then builds up the antibodies against
it.
You fight it, and away you go. In the Moderna and the
Pfizer
one, you are actually changing the quote-unquote DNA, because it's gene therapy, making your body able to, you know, more resistant, if you would. Again, I go back to my gene theory earlier that certain people with certain genes have less issues with coronavirus than others. In fact, I wish we would spend as much time and money and effort on that as we have the rest of this, because really what you could do then is say, wait a minute, I've got genes that will naturally give me the ability to fight the virus. Why do I need the vaccine? And if you have those genes, why do you need a vaccine? In fact, there are studies out there right now saying that if you're one of those body types that will fight off coronavirus better than others, getting the vaccine will diminish that in you.
Right.
And I, by the way, feel like I'm one of those.
Yeah.
I don't want the vaccine because I don't want that diminished.
No.
Because I do feel like I'm one of those.
This is the thing. And this is another thing. They're telling people that are vaccinated to still get this vaccine, which doesn't make any sense to me. Because literally, if you turn on the radio at any point in time, they're like, you have something amazing. It's called, antibodies.
Right.
And we need your plasma. So why would you be asking people that had the virus to give their plasma if they don't have antibodies and they're not immune to that at that point? They're contradicting what they're saying.
Right. I agree.
So,
number four, the data gaps, quote unquote, submitted to the FDA by the vaccine makers. When vaccine makers submitted their papers to the FDA for the emergency use authorization, there were gaps in the data that they provided. I don't know all the details there. I can't speak to that, but I'm just giving you what's in this article.
Right.
So I don't know that one in particular. If anybody does, let me know. But I also do know, and some of the things they mention here is that, you know, people that are, you know, ladies that are pregnant, they've had issues among those lines with miscarriages and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of stuff here that they're mentioning. No data in preventing the mortality from COVID, the transmission of COVID, how long it protects you.
Right.
Like, we don't know any of these things.
And this, by the way, is a big one for me. Number five, we don't have access to the real raw data from the trials, which to me is a bigger problem than anything else we're talking about. Because if they're not giving it, I want to know what happened in the trials.
Yeah.
Doggone it, turn the stuff over.
Now, supposedly, they're saying that they did do animal trials, but they will not release the data.
Yeah, and I'm a data guy. I want the data.
Which is like a huge red flag to me. Like, okay, why can't we find out what happened to the animals?
It's always a red flag to me, folks, when somebody won't release their data.
Yes.
Tell me what the numbers say. You all know me by now. You've listened to me long enough to know that I'm a business guy. I'm a numbers guy. I can read a balance sheet, a P&L. I can look at a company, tell you whether it's solvent or not. I like data. I want to see what it says.
And they're not
tell me.
No, they won't let you see it.
Yeah, I hate
There's
that.
There's no transparency here.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No.
I want to know what does it say. The number six. We got a long ways to go.
Okay.
No long-term safety testing. Well, of course, because it's...
That's my, to be honest, that's my number one.
Too early. Well, me
like,
too.
I'm like, listen, we don't, We don't know the long-term results. So why am I going to put this in my body? I want to find out what this looks like, you know, 5-10 years out.
Yeah, my son was saying that last night. We were talking on the way home. And so Richard was saying, that, you know, hey, Dad, you know, yeah, you could wait 6 months. But really, is 6 months even going to tell you what's going on with this?
No.
No. What about 5 or 6 years or 10 years from now?
Right. No.
When we'll know.
We've all seen those commercials. If you took the da-da-da-da-da, please call this number. You may be able to.
Right.
I mean, it's like...
Everything from surgical procedures to pills to... what is it now? Roundup to you name it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. You can't do that. Well, we probably won't see that stuff because you can't sue them. So.
you're going to have to, you'll know more of this through word of mouth and things that get published outside of the drug companies mm-hmm. than you will from them.
Yeah.
That I will tell you right now. Number 7, no informed consent. What most who are taking the vaccine don't know is that because these products are still in the clinical trials, by the way, even Jen Psaki said it today.
Yeah, which is
White House press secretary. These are under emergency orders right now. Mm-hmm. Anyone who gets this shot right now is now a part of the clinical trial.
Right.
So you're a part of the. You're a guinea pig at this point.
And I love it. Like he mentions, like okay, you're in the clinical trial if you're taking the vaccine, and then there's the control group,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in the control group. The control group is not taking the vaccine, so we are now watching the experimental people. In this trial,
yeah.
Really, and I'd rather be in the control group just because I don't want to be in the experimental trial that's taking place right now in our country, in our world, really.
I'm with you. That's why I'm not taking it.
Yeah.
Number 8, and this is a big one, by the way, and this is another big one for me because I've seen these. I know they exist. I've read the stories. They're out there. The underreporting of adverse reactions and death, and there have been folks. There have been huge adverse reactions to all of these particular quote unquote vaccines, and we're not hearing those. In fact, I will go as far as to tell you that I think even when people post these things on social media and other places, they're being squashed.
Oh yeah,
I'm just being honest because they are.
Which is so shady. Like why the censorship? Why you know like there's this huge you can't speak out. You cannot. Do what we're doing right now on social media.
No.
We could not have this conversation. Both of our pages would be shut down. We'd be completely demonetized. All of it would be taken away if we had this conversation. Doesn't that perk your interest? Like, why?
Yes, it does. Which is another red flag.
Yeah.
Between the data, lack of, squashing this. Yes, these are red flags for me. So I don't have 18 red flags. I don't need 18. You know, two or three is enough for me. Number 9. And by the way, Dr. Fauci even said that this past week. You know, a little dictator said this. The vaccines do not stop transmission or infection. So then why get it?
Right.
I wanted to add this in the beginning, and I forgot to. If you're somebody that's compromised, and you know, you're 65 or 70, and you've got other issues going on, and you know you're at high risk, if I were in that group, would I take the vaccine even right now knowing I'm at high risk? Probably, because what have I got to lose?
Okay.
I'm already, you know, risking getting COVID and having major issues and so on. So at this point, would I take it if I'm in that group? Probably would.
Right.
But at 56 and healthy, no,
right.
I'm not.
No.
Make sense?
You know what's crazy, though? It's like 80% of the people that are being hospitalized and that are dying from COVID are overweight. If you are a physician, a doctor, anybody that cares about people, and you have people that are overweight that are visiting you in your office, the number one thing that will save them from
losing weight of
COVID is losing weight.
Eat better, lose weight, get your immune system built up.
Exercise is a new thing that came out this last week. People that exercise.
On and on we go. Again, so number 9, the vaccines do not stop transmission or infection. Dr. Fauci even reiterated that to everybody this past week. Number 10, people are catching COVID after being fully vaccinated. Now, this is more minor, and it's probably more rare than what this article is leading it to sound. But yeah, there have been cases. There's even been some here in Denver where people are. There's a nursing home up in, I believe it's either Loveland or Fort Collins, where this particular nursing home, which required them to have vaccines,
mm-hmm.
there were individuals working there that were in high risk activities outside of work that caught COVID even after having the vaccine.
Right.
Okay.
I'm hearing that it can make you even more susceptible.
It may. I'm hearing the same thing, so I don't know those answers. Craig and Wheat Ridge, hang tight. We'll take you as soon as we come back. We got a few more of these to roll with. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. I say it all the time. Exercise your Second Amendment right. Go to Franktown Firearms today. It's about a 5-day wait to buy a firearm, but they'll get you all fixed up and taken care of. And don't forget, they've got all the accessories, ammo, and training, one-stop shopping. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. If you're sitting on a pile of equity, you're over the age of 62 or even getting close to that, and you want to know more about how a reverse mortgage works, or frankly, if you've got elderly parents and they're struggling to pay the bills and yet they're sitting on a pile of equity and you're interested in this, don't take somebody else's word for how a reverse mortgage works. Call Bruce directly, 303-467-7821. They're not for everybody, but they are for a lot. So call Bruce today and find out whether it works for you. Find him again at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Teresa at the Campion Church said, "I have worked with this company for 9 years. They are some of the best people to work with. When I call for service on our copier, they are always looking to get there as soon as they can. One time I had a deadline and my copier was down. I called them up to see if I could use a copier in their office and they said, come right on over. Duke has personally come and delivered a copier for our use for a few weeks to make high-speed copies. I have enjoyed working with BES and would definitely recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, Craig joining us now on the phone. Craig, welcome.
Hi, John. I wanted to offer my condolences on the passing of your brother. I haven't spoken to you since that time.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that very much.
And as far as the vaccine, I don't plan on getting it. I still believe it's in an experimental stage,
yeah,
as you've spoken. And, you know, all you have to do, I highly suggest everybody try to find, there was a hearing today with Fauci and Jim Jordan.
I watched it. Jim, it was awesome.
Jim Jordan, I mean, Fauci is the guy that is supposed to be the ringmaster of this whole thing. He is supposed to be the definitive expert. Yet the man cannot answer specific questions. Mm-hmm. He has flip-flopped. He has changed his opinions on things. And this is the guy that everybody goes to for the definitive answer to all this. And yet he has no answers.
Yeah. He's a little dictator. Mm-hmm. I continue to call him that, and I will. I have not trusted much, if not any, of what he said from the get-go. He's got a political agenda that he's serving, I believe. He has a monetary agenda that he's also serving. And if you, if anybody out there for 1 second thinks he's serving the good of mankind, think again. Satan himself, I think, serves mankind better than this guy does.
Yeah, and this article that actually we're going through, Craig, goes into Dr. Fauci and what he's really about and what he's tied to. And I don't think a lot of people know He does have financial
big time
ties.
He's
to
got
all
huge
of
gains
this.
In
yeah.
this. Yes, he does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
which should be a huge like disqualifier.
Right.
Like, sorry.
I agree.
We don't need your input anymore now that you're financially tied to all this.
Yeah, that's like the referee.
Well, I think-
that's like that would be like guys a referee in the Super Bowl. Calling the game in his favor because he's bet on it
yeah.
and he's actually got money at stake.
Like, how twisted is
right?
that?
Right? It's the same situation.
Right.
No different.
Well, they've continued to move the goalposts all along.
Yep.
And then they said when the vaccines get here, you know, we can return to normal. And yet we're still talking about getting the vaccine and then having to wear a mask. Mm-hmm.
Do you know why,
the
Craig?
The point of getting the vaccine.
Craig, do you know why, in my opinion, why that is?
I'd like to hear your opinion.
Because Dr. Fauci stands to make a boatload of money off of this. He will not make as much money if we get to a point where there's herd immunity and only, you know, a third of the population has been vaccinated, and then it sort of dies off and wanes and you don't sell as many vaccines as we potentially should. And or we don't even use the amount we've already produced. That's another big factor out there. My belief is because he has such financial stake in this, he's pushing this as far as he possibly can to make sure he capitalizes on it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I even think it goes a little darker. I mean, I'm not going to, yeah. Go ahead.
And then they also talk about you're going to need boosters.
Right.
Yeah.
Again.
Goes back to what
and
I just said.
I tried telling a friend of mine, I said, you know, this is big pharma. Whenever something is pushed this strongly, don't trust the government to tell you it's all about your safety. Somebody is filling their pockets with lots of money in the process.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yep.
I mean, like you've said in other aspects of the government, do not expect the government to take care of you. You need to take care of yourself.
That's right. That's right. But yet we've entered into this phase within the past year, especially our young people, where they're living in fear and they're expecting the government to take care of them. And frankly, anytime you do that, in the end, it's going to cost you dearly.
Right. And why are we listening to this one guy, though? That's my question. The science, when you really work with science, you get a panelist of scientists out there. You get a panelist of doctors. They all kind of argue their cases. They have their different thesis. They try out what they believe, and they challenge one another. We literally have eliminated everyone else off the field, and we're only taking advice from this one guy that's not treating COVID patients. He's not even a practicing doctor right now.
Well, one thing I don't think you've heard out of Fauci's mouth, and I've seen it from so-called other experts. Again, if you'd had a panel of people, but no, we always relied on one person to dictate what we all do.
Right.
Other doctors have said if you've had the COVID virus and you have the antibodies, you do not need the vaccine.
Yes.
But you're not hearing that from our government. You are hearing it from other doctors besides Fauci.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, there's articles. I just Googled it. You can't Google it on regular Google. You have to go to DuckDuckGo to actually do this. But I Googled, you know, what does Fauci stand to make when it comes to vaccines? It's not so much what does he stand to make, but what does he stand to lose if these things don't, you know, don't go over and go off the way they're supposed to. It's probably more of what he loses versus what he makes.
I'm hearing myself.
Yep, there you go. All right, anyways, with that, Craig, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the phone call. And that's our delay coming back through the speakers there. Yeah, folks, let me keep going here. I know we've got a few more of these to roll through. Number 11, I've talked about this myself, the overall death rate from COVID. You have a 99.74% survival rate if you're not in that high-risk area. Why do I need a vaccine for 99.74% survival rate?
This is another thing we don't talk about. We all have an immune system.
Right.
We're acting like we have nothing that can fight this. Our immune systems are built to fight viruses.
That's right. Number 12, the bloated COVID death numbers. I've talked about that many, many times on this show. I've even corrected people that have come on this show and talked about the huge numbers of death and corrected them. And by the way, even with the bloated numbers, and you factor that into the equation of the overall risk factor, even with bloated numbers, it's still very low, folks.
It's still very low. And we're looking at not real numbers, too.
Well, the other thing, folks, and I've said this numerous times, this is not a pandemic.
No.
Not in the true definition of a pandemic, because there's not high death rate. Number 13, Fauci and six others at NIAID own patents in the Moderna vaccine. We just talked about that. Number 14, Fauci is on the hot seat for illegal gain of function research. That one I'll have to research myself. Number 15, the virus continues to mutate. Yes, that's a fact. Everybody talks about that, including him. Number 16, censorship and the complete absence of scientific debate. Yes, Rachel and I talked about that a little bit earlier. number 17. I got to scroll down here farther, blah, blah, blah. The world's leading vaccinologist is sounding the alarm.
Yes.
That would be Dr. Fauci, by the way, himself. And number 18, I already had COVID. Now, that's not me because I don't know if I have or haven't. I need to get an antibody test, I guess, to figure that out. But if you've had COVID and you have the antibodies inside of you, you do not need a vaccine, by the way.
You do not need it. And it's crazy to me that they're telling people to still get it because we don't know. That's really scary. We don't know. Okay, so you have the antibodies and then you're injecting the virus back into your body, especially these messenger vaccines, quote unquote vaccines. What that could cause serious trouble.
Like you and my son both have said.
Yeah.
We will not know the full effect of this until 5 or 6 years down the road.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of those guinea pigs, folks. That's my reason for not getting it.
Yeah. And you know what I said? I said, and it caused quite a stir. I said, you know what? And I'm not participating in these vaccine passports. I'm not participating in any of it. And if that means I'm not flying, I'm not flying. If that means I'm not going to patron your business, I'm not patroning your business. And through this, we will have companies, organizations, businesses form that will be open to people that have not got the vaccine. So people don't need to freak out because they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? There will be a demand and markets will, there will be a formation of like kind of like an underground black market, you know, of, hey, you don't have the vaccine, come here. We'll take care of you. So I believe that, and I believe that if enough people say no, that companies will ditch this insanely stupid idea.
And Richard just informed me, too, that Fauci is not the leading top expert. There is another guy basically in this article that's mentioned that is. You'll have to dig that out yourself.
Garrett Vanden Walsh.
Yeah, you say his last name.
Whatever his name, yeah.
Bottom line, there's a lot of people with a lot of things at stake. We got to run. We got a quick break. Barber's Foods is up next. Anything you need when it comes to protein, they've got you covered. And it's with an S, barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back, like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Fast first hour, by the way. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama. We have two more hours left, and we just went through the 18 reasons I won't be getting a COVID vaccine. By the way, you can look that article up. We'll have that up on the website. Ann will put that in the notes here by tomorrow, so you'll have a link to that as well. And all of the things we do on air, you can find those on the website now, rushtoreason.com. Just click on the links button at the top, and it'll take you right to all the different things we've got going on, show notes and so on. So there's a lot of things we didn't get a chance to cover during this first hour, but we'll get to as many of those as we can. We do have a special guest joining us as soon as we come back. Jessica Dory is going to join us. She is from a company up in the Fort Collins area that does organic beauty CBD products. And I'm interested to talk to her because she was somebody that had to find something to help her with some of her own illnesses, and it ended up being CBD, which we continue to learn more and more about and find their medicinal purposes. We'll talk to her as soon as we come back. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back, myself and Rachel. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.